This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey friends, Alicia here. Hi Stacy. It looks like we're doing an intro after all.
We are. Welcome to Trashy Divorces, everybody's favorite good podcast about bad relationships.
So friends, we haven't had to do an intro we screwed up in a minute. This episode, we are going to take you through the first 30 episodes of the TikTok sensation, Who TF Did I Marry? By Risa Tisa. I got so engrossed in the story, I looked at it once wrong, and I said Risa Tisa through this. Her name is not Risa Tisa. Her name is Risa Tisa. The correct links are in the show notes.
Both are awesome sounding. And yes, the username is Risa M. Tisa.
We're very sorry. Girl, we got some Stella Black over here. You have told the trashy divorce story for the ages. We really hope all of y'all enjoy this. I can't say I'm proud. This is how I spent my weekend, but y'all are in for a roller coaster of a ride.
That is the case, yeah.
Let's go, go, go.
Oh, my.
Oh, my is
oh
right.
Oh, my. Alicia, you've been sucked into TikTok.
In a pretty major way. So a lot of our trash pandas have let us know about this Risa Tisa person and the hashtag Who TF Did I Marry? Heard about it from a lot of people. Thanks, y'all. Rach and Melanie and Circa. A lot of friends reached out like, hey, y'all need to get on this. I've been on it today. This is not the episode that we had planned for this weekend, but we're going to record today. It's Friday. I've made it through parts 1 through 10 of this
50 parts.
I'm one fifth, I think, of the way through.
One tenth. Math.
If there's 50 of them, I'm 10. It's 20%.
Okay.
I'm one fifth.
Math was never my strong suit, as I was just saying.
One fifth of the way through. So, okay, here's what's up so far. No notes. Just don't try to fool your auntie Alicia, this sweet Risa Tisa lady. We're going to start at the beginning. We don't even have them married yet in parts 1 through 10. This is her ex-husband, but they're not yet married in all the background and all the bio. So, Trash Pandas, buckle up. If you do not have the time to watch the 80 parts of this, I've done the first 10, first block. Here we go. Back in late February, early March 2020, Risa Tisa on dating apps finds a guy. She doesn't know that he has two dating apps and that he's hooked with her on both places. Different names. Kind of the same name, but different names on both. They are going to get together and go out. Where's your favorite restaurant? Cheesecake Factory. So they're going to meet at the Cheesecake Factory. And this is not an Atlanta-based story, but it helps sometimes to know the Atlanta geography.
It is set in Atlanta, so that, yeah.
So he's out in Duluth. She's out in Clayton. So they're going to meet halfway, which is at Perimeter Mall, to go to the Cheesecake Factory. On the way to the Cheesecake Factory, poor Risa Tisa blows a tire. And here comes Mr. Guy. Where are you? Drop a pin. He comes and changes the tire, goes and takes her to get a new tire. They go to Cheesecake Factory. They're walking in, holding hands.
Pays for the tire, yeah. Which is a really
you can't drive on this good move. Donut. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get you taken care of. We're still going to go to Cheesecake Factory. They go. They have dinner. They laugh. They flirt. They everything. They hang out in the car talking until, I don't know, the wee hours of the morning. It feels very right. It's a love story, baby. Just say yes. She asks him, what are your intentions? Like, what is it? Like, that you're looking for in a relationship? And she gets his whole bio. And he's back from the West Coast, and he is a big regional manager in this company. He has been divorced. He's close to his stepkids. He used to play arena football. Girl doesn't know anything about, like, she knows college, Go Dogs, and pro football, but she doesn't know arena football. So he's just kind of, he talks a lot. He talks a lot about all of his history and how successful and big man on campus. He wants to get married. He's ready to get married and settle down and buy a home. And so his company has relocated him to Georgia, to Duluth. But they're helping him like relocate and buy a home.
Right.
To move here.
Yeah. Normal, okay. Normal executive stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back and remember what was happening in
March of 2020.
You got it. COVID lockdown. So these two meet. Fireworks. They can't live without each other. And she works for the state. I think she works with the troopers, Georgia.
Georgia's Sheriff's Patrol.
Yeah. So he thinks that's kind of cool. Like, oh, you work with a bunch of sheriffs, which, you know, probably your sheriff friends might have given you. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good at red flags. She's very cute. She's like, I just was colorblind. It was the United Nations full of red flag. I just didn't see them. But I was just talking about this. You don't see them until you know how to read a narcissist. I don't even know how this guy is manifesting his plan in the world yet. Okay, COVID lockdown, sweet Lord. And he's like, well, where are we going to lock down together? They've been dating 3 weeks.
Oh, a week, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Georgia locked down like on the 17th or something. Locked down.
I think Kemp was going to lock it by the end of March.
Yeah.
He has a one-room studio in Gwinnett. She has a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath townhouse, right, in Riverdale.
Much better.
Which is better. So they're going to lock down there. And it's interesting to me to listen to sweet Ressa Tessa at this time, because already by this point, she's making audio diaries. She's going into her prayer closet and just, like, when your gut is telling you it ain't right, something's not right here, but I don't know what it is. But she is listening to her gut, and she starts to keep this diary thing. He moves in with her. And admittedly, she's very quick to be like, y'all, I get my part. Like, any part she has in this, this sure. is not a deflect thing. She's very much owning, I'm going to tell you the bad parts of me in this too. I think that's what's ringing a bell with everybody. It's so very authentic. She says at this part, he came in, he paid rent, he paid household utilities. It was nice having a check that mama could just use her check. Mm-hmm. I could put a little money into my car. I could, like, I didn't have to be financially yeah. worried. And so part of that monetary trade-off is that I didn't pay attention. It was nice to have this. Throughout spring, there they are in lockdown, right? March, April, May. Now, there's a lot of different things going on, and it's not exactly complicated to understand from a storytelling perspective, but she'll get through to a story and then have to back up the bus. So it's okay. Whew. So throughout this time in the spring, he's house hunting. They find a house. They like the house. Everything's done virtually. Long story short, this house falls through. There's always an excuse. There's always a thing. The inspector can't come. Girl says she gets called, compelled by the Holy Spirit. This is long after the house fell through by Memorial Day. She goes on June 4th and the house had closed. It was off the market.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Is he looking for a house for himself to buy, or are they going to purchase a home together?
He's buying the house, but she is now his fiance. They're going to get married. Okay. They are intent on getting married.
So it's not like they wouldn't both be on the title of the, like, they're not completely financially entangled yet.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just and checking. This is moving so fast.
It's a lot.
So fast.
It's a lot. So with this first house, Ressa Tessa realizes that she wasn't very involved in that process. Mm-hmm. And she knows he's going to lie. I know you're lying. I just don't know about what. There's going to be an excuse coming. Like, she's already, if you know this at 3 months in, yeah. don't do it. But that house falls through and she sees it was off the market. She calls the real estate agent.
Uh-oh.
And it's an older white couple who moved in, not a younger black guy looking for a home. Like, she realizes she knows. She doesn't know what's wrong, but she knows something's wrong. Also, during this time, I just made it through the test drive car episodes. So he now has gotten this new VP position, and he gets a company car. and he wants to get her a car, and he's bragging about how he's going to get her a car. So for weeks and weeks and weeks, they go test drive cars. He just wastes her time. She realizes now he gets off having her waste her time on things she's never going to get. So you would think maybe through that spring, summertime, you'd be done. But guess what? Ressa Tessa learns she's pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Which complicates everything.
It sure would.
So during this time that they're looking at houses, test driving cars, sure, wasting her time, she feels terrible because she's newly pregnant.
Right.
Right?
And when you're newly, like, all of, like, she's probably starting to note the red flags, but now you've got a baby to think about.
Yeah, you're carrying this man's child, and he, okay, wow. Now, throughout all of this test drive home nonsense back and forth, she feels terrible, but it's COVID, right? So you can't go with people, like, your person can take you to your appointment, but you're doing stuff by yourself.
Yeah.
She's pregnant. She is a little bit plus size. She's a little bit older. So she's like, this is probably going to be a high-risk pregnancy. So during this time, newly, like, first trimester, she's not paying as much attention just because she's like, whoa, my body. What TF am I growing inside me, right? Where pretty early in the pregnancy, she gets to work. She has a doctor's appointment that day. She gets to work. She begins spotting. She begins bleeding.
Oh, no.
So she will miscarry.
Oh.
Part of that, though, they give her a choice with miscarriage. Expel naturally, take a pill to expel, or come on in and have a D&C. His birthday was June 17th. They celebrated his birthday. She did the pill to expel, but even that didn't work. So she ended up having to go in for a D&C. He reaches out to her mama and her aunt and says, you don't need to talk to Ressa Tessa for a week. She's just going to be recovering. And yeah, your face. Mom and Ann are like, no. What?
Yeah.
He is 4 hours late picking her up from the DNC. And the nurses are just calling, like,
yeah.
And he's like, Atlanta traffic, which, to be fair, like.
But 4 hours worth is.
Buddy has a point, but. That's a long 4 hours is three times the time you need to get from Duluth to Northside. Even in traffic, you're probably going to need an hour and 20.
Well, and like, I'm sorry, but like, if even if I were not allowed inside for the procedure because of COVID restrictions, I would be sitting in the parking lot waiting. Like, I don't know how long this procedure was supposed to take.
No, but he wasn't, because this whole day he was supposed to go. But then 2 days before, all the senior executives were coming to town, and this is when he's in line for a big VP promotion. And if he gets the VP promotion, he's going to have an executive assistant named David. So David is now taking all of Homeboy's calls. Highly sus.
I'm so sorry that all of this happened to Ressa Tessa.
I don't even know what is going to happen to Ressa Tessa. I've only made it through 10 episodes. I think those are the major highlights.
I think the amount of heartbreak I would be experiencing if you were 4 hours late picking me up from something that traumatic, I can't even think of what to say.
I would have stayed in the parking
lot. That's what I'm saying.
With a really good, I could have read Proust. I could have hung out and waited as long as it had taken.
No, I, yeah, I.
Gotten some snacks.
I'm just having empathy here for someone who, that should never have happened to
her
or anyone else.
Happened. I mean, the story is much more detail oriented. I think I've made it through an hour and a half now, but that's parts 1 through 10. Looking ahead, we're going to get into his background, some more lies. I don't know how you actually end up marrying him, Ressa Tessa, after what you've seen in
so
the
far,
10
yeah.
episodes, but he did meet her family, and the family likes him. It's, again, all highly sus. I'm going to go back in for the next round, part two,
to be continued
after break. Do you have questions? I just wanted to get it off my brain as I'm going through it.
I mean,
this is play-by-play podcasting, babe.
like, I have a million questions because she, again, she seems, you know, like a little bit older, more mature, like to have her life upended this way, this suddenly seems...
But she's not recording this till 2024. We
sure.
Got 3.5 years of upending.
Yeah.
TBD.
No questions now. It's just, I mean, I know I watched the first one with you and she acknowledges like she should have seen all of these things. But yeah, anyway, it just the head spinningness of it all seems, I don't know. I guess you get caught off guard by love.
Okay. I'm going to go back and do the continuing trashy work of the angels here.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing back. We'll be back for the next 10 segments right after break. Stacey, I'm so excited to see our favorite baby trash panda rocking her new Caden Lane gear. You know how much I love to find quality clothing for the littles in my life that can also be monogrammed and personalized because I'm super into that.
Let me tell you a little bit about this amazing brand. Started by a real single mom in 2005 who just wanted to create better and cuter clothes, accessories, and keepsakes for her own children, the idea was a great one, and Caden Lane has millions of customers and over 70,000 five-star reviews.
I'm super excited this week. I get to order for one of the littles in our life, the Caden Lane Color Me Pajama Sets. This is my favorite gift to give. They come with their own washable markers, so your kids can customize and color their own pajamas. Oh, it's so much fun.
Caden Lane is your one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel.
Head to cadenlane.com/trashy and use the code TRASHY for 20% off your order.
Once again, that's cadenlane.com/trashy for 20% off. And make sure you use our promo code TRASHY so they know we sent you. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alicia, I feel like you have found your newest true crime passion.
Now I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
This is definitely the trashiest divorce of the year so far. So I'm back again with part two. Mm-hmm. I have made it through episodes 11 through 20. I have notes now.
Okay, good.
Because, whoa. All right.
Russ
just going to break it down.
Who the F did I marry?
Who the F did I marry? So we begin episode 11, where she gives, we're going to call him Legion, as opposed to boyfriend, fiance, ex-husband. He's Legion. We
sure.
learn this a little bit later. But okay, episode 11. She, Russa Tessa, learns Legion's family background. She understands from him that his two parents have passed away. He has two brothers. He's in the middle. He has two sisters. He FaceTimes with his brother all the time. He lost his grandmother. His grandmother passed with COVID. They all make plans to go visit family locally, but something always happens every time they're going to go to the plan.
Is she communicating during these FaceTime calls?
She does sometimes FaceTime, but oftentimes he's on the phone and he's like, hey, John says hey. And she's like, oh, tell John hey.
Okay.
But his phone is always on vibrate in his left pocket. All right, let's move to episode 12. Russa Tessa finds out, oh, bless her heart, in episode 12, that his ex-wife from San Diego has moved to Atlanta.
Oh, no.
She's in Gwinnett County now. And back when they first started at the Cheesecake Factory, the night under the stars and hand-holding, they had the what were their exes like conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And Legion shares that his ex-wife, he came home early one day, she was cheating on him.
Oh, no.
So they marry in California. They divorce in California. He's offered a job transfer. The divorce starts acrimonious. It gets out. Okay, but now wife has moved back to Georgia with the stepkids living in Gwinnett. Resitessa doesn't feel like he's making the wife seem to be like she wants him back. Like, that's not what's happening at all. Okay.
But it's a lot to take in, especially this is still a young relationship.
We've only gone March to August of 2020.
Okay, yeah. So a young relationship and you're just, okay.
Right. So moving on to end of 12, they're not getting back together, but now ex-wife's in town. So by episode 13, we're only covering, at this point, March through August of 2020.
Okay.
We have dated, mm-hmm. we've moved in together, we've gotten pregnant.
Sure.
We've had a grandmother pass away. We've had test drive
sure.
cars, test drive houses. Mm-hmm. Finally, by August.
Everything always falls through.
She's done. She's like, you know what? I don't need your help with this car. And she will finance a car. And she will say here, Resitessa does, she knew better because she could not afford that car note without him.
Mm.
So at this point, she'll say,
now they are financially entangled.
I married him out of fear. In October, they find another house. And I need to tell you about, there's Scott 1 and Scott 2. Scott 1 and 2 are both real estate agents. Legion was working with Scott 1 in all the houses that fell through before. And Resitessa was like, I do not like Scott 1. So they find another Scott. Now we have a new real estate agent in the mix. He is also Scott. Scott decides that Legion puts in another offer on a house in October. All cash. All cash offer. Now, Resitessa has seen his like Chase bank statement that he's approved for this much of a loan. She's like, I wasn't dumb. I saw his bank at like, he was paying for stuff. Mm-hmm. Like financially, this wasn't, I don't know what's going on, but I know we're okay. And he puts in this all cash offer for a house. And the people love the cash offer. And they're like, great, we'll accept your cash offer if sure. you show us proof of funds. And Legion's like, I'll show you proof of funds when you accept my cash offer. So it goes on like this for a minute. So Scott number two, the real estate broker, is like, okay, well, that deal's going to fall through. But listen, I should have done my due diligence in real estate. The real estate agency needs to see.
Yeah, proof of funds.
Scott,
yeah.
too, has already showed them 25 houses by
oh
then,
God.
Right?
He loves wasting people's time.
Legion really loves wasting people's time. So Legion isn't going to show them to Scott. And so Scott, too, is out. Like, quit wasting my time. I don't have anything to do here. So we move into episode 14. And now they put in multiple offers on houses. They always fall through. And sweet girl is like, listen, it is the holidays. I just want to drop it. I don't want to have anything to do with cars. I don't want to have anything to do with houses. I just want to have a nice holiday and get through this together. And here she says a few key things in 14. She's like, I've learned to know that it's always something. There's always something with him. There's always something. And she's really questioning, like, what am I missing? She's still doing her audio diaries, but she's like, why did I fall for this? I was smarter than this. I would not recognize the girl that I used to be before this, but why was this thing? And she breaks it down to three things. I didn't want to be alone. I was embarrassed of looking stupid to my friends.
Sure.
And honestly, I was ready to get married. She's seen his new job offer for the VP. He's making $200K a year over. He's close to his family. She's not having to worry financially. He's paying the bills. She's like, well, maybe it's just me. She's trying to give him every way out mm-hmm. of justification. And she's like, I traded my financial worry. My money worry was gone but my mental worry is now escalated.
Yeah.
So around Thanksgiving 2020, Legion comes and he's like, listen, let's have a talk. Oh, God, don't ever. This is such a bad talk because I can see you're about to explain where this is going. And I'm like, no, 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 don't go there, because now he's contrite. Baby, I messed up. I want to show you how much I messed up. I'm so earnest about this. I really feel like we should get married.
Oh, my God. Nope.
Sweet girl is like, all right. He's like, what is it going to take, baby? I'll do anything. She's like, I want to see your bank accounts. Show me your bank account. So she sees his checking account. There's money there. She sees his savings account from Chase Bank. He will not show her the offshore account or the other United States bank account. Middle of December. She's kind of still letting it go. Oh, sorry. We're in episode 15 now. Middle of December. There's a lot of family pressure. Both of them are very religious, and now they've been living in sin, quote unquote, for 9 months. And they went to try to get married back in September, but like something didn't happen. And so she told her friends and family they were going to get married in September, and then it didn't happen that day. So she doesn't tell anybody this is happening. When they go to the courthouse to fill out their marriage license.
Why do I feel like this is not how she envisioned herself getting married?
No, and her friends are sad.
Yeah.
Like, when she tells everybody, her friends are like, God, you deserved so much more than that. But they go and they get their license. And Recitas, and like, again, and this is all about listening to your gut. They fill out the papers, how many previous marriages. He wrote one, she wrote zero, and she gets his social security number.
Handy. And she works for the sheriff.
Exactly.
So
she gets his number and she like recalls it. And so then she's going to do a background check and no results are returned. No results. So she's like, well, either I wrote down the wrong number or this guy is as clean as he says he is and he just has money and I'm being so paranoid about this. These two get married January 5th. It's a Tuesday. They stop and get wings on the way home.
No, it is a Tuesday. That was the day of the Georgia runoff election. These were momentous times.
Momentous times. They stopped and got hot wings on the way home. And the next day she went to work. Here she'll say at the end of 15, by January 31st, I knew I was in trouble. 25 days later.
Oh, no.
Okay. So intimacy stopped. She's real happy to be married. January 7th, she goes to change her paperwork. Now we've moved into episode 16. This is the interlude. Here she talks about, I don't remember the girl I was. Trust your gut. You got to investigate. Because now she's gotten comments through this whole day. We're still in day one, y'all. Like, it's a lot. The thing I thought was so interesting here, because she is fairly religious, it seems like. So she's like, God was trying to tell me. God blew a tire for me on the way there. And I was so hard-headed that I thought it was my turn. Mm-hmm. And I kept just arguing with God, the universe, the plans out there for me. I excused a lot of it because I wanted it to be my turn. I thought it was my turn.
This is why this is so relatable.
This is the trashiest divorces story ever trashed.
But I mean, like, almost everyone has had a relationship like this. Maybe you don't end up married to that person, but I mean, we have all applied our own highly motivated reasoning based on the things we want for ourselves and attempted to squeeze a completely inappropriately shaped person into that, right? And that appears to be what is happening.
Well, the thing I thought was so interesting about 16, now that we're kind of halfway through this block, when you and I first got together, you always recalled it was just so easy. I'm like, well, that's how it's supposed to be. Like,
but I didn't know that at the time.
This poor girl, right, from March to December, nothing has been, like, it shouldn't be this hard, is what I'm saying.
That's an excellent point, too.
It just, you shouldn't have this many challenges. So she's like, oh, God, was trying to do everything in his power to stop me from falling down this hole. But I did it anyway. So episode 17. Now we know we're calling him Legion. They're now married. And here's the thing. His schedule's always been the same. He'll wake up and go to work before she does. He is regular like clockwork. Wakes up, talks to his brother on the phone, leaves at 6:15. She actually working for Georgia State Patrol was one of the first few people that was not allowed to work from home anymore. She's like, admittedly, I'm not a good work from home worker. They made me go back in the office, me and this other lady, 5 days a week because we couldn't pull it from home.
Sure.
Which some people, that's just not what they're cut out for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're married the first 2 weeks. Everything's okay. And then she says, snap. After 2 weeks, he's questioning her. Things that were never in question are now being questioned. Are you wearing that to work? He calls her every day at work. Well, who's that guy talking in the background?
Oh, my God.
She works for the Georgia State Patrol. There's mm-hmm. going to be men in the background. Like, yeah. You can't help that.
Yeah.
He's upping the frequency. She recalls in January 21st in her audio diary. They've been married 16 days. Am I being unrealistic?
Mm.
Into January. He's going back to Scott, one real estate agent.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, hey, baby. I'm going to go ahead and start looking for houses again with Scott One, but you don't have to look at them with me. If I find something that I think you'll like, you can come look at it. I look at what a hero I am. I'm saving you all this time. I'll just choose the house for us. And she's like, no. But she doesn't really do that. She doesn't really react. Like, sure, babe, that's fine. Go ahead. She doesn't give him the reaction that he wants. Okay, so I want you to just make note, because I think this is building. We move into 18. And again, Legion's been working this regular schedule. He leaves at 6:15. He's home at 3:30. She's now working back in the office. Legion's schedule starts to change now. He's coming home later, because she's coming home later, because she's not working from home anymore. Now, I think it's weird as a senior VP of a company, you have a schedule that stays that strictly the same.
Yeah.
That's not the way that works.
Not from what I saw in corporate.
But now he would come home after her. And when he walks in, he'd be like, God, that neighbor, she's so interested in me. She's flirted with me again on the way in. And again, Restessa, like, he's trying to make her mad, but she's not going to get mad. So her birthday is February. So he goes all out. This is February 2021. He goes all out for her birthday and Valentine's Day. The weekend after that, he gives her money. Baby, go to the nail salon. Get your nails done on me. So she is in the nail salon chair getting her pedicure. And she gets a text from Legion. Hey, some guy was just here looking for you. Who was that? And she's like, what?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Who's it? A, you don't come to my house. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think it was one of your exes.
Oh, God.
So this takes legit 3 episodes to break down. So I'm not going to do that. We're going to break it down real quick. She comes home. She's trying to figure out who this is. And he's being real cagey. You know, when people get, when they do the true crime and they give a general description of a suspect that could literally be anyone.
Yeah.
And she's really trying to narrow him down. What kind of car? Well, he backed in, so he was obviously familiar being here. Okay, what kind of skin? He was brown skin. Okay, was he my color or darker? Like, well, he's shorter than me. Like, it's just vague.
Are we thinking Legion invented this entire thing just as a way of putting her off balance?
So she's like, okay, there are 4 guys that could be. I haven't dated anybody for a year or two before you, but it could be these guys. So she's asking these questions. Does he wear a hat or not? Because if he's got a hat on, he's like, no, he doesn't have a hat on. But if he had a hat on, it's going to be the maintenance worker. She's like, there are 4 people. There are 4 men who have been to my house since I've lived in this place. Like, she's naturally like, who is coming to my house?
And,
I'm married.
She's engaging in good faith and he is not.
And he is not. He is not engaging in good faith at all. He's really calm. She's not calm. So he's gotten some kind of reaction. But what Legion doesn't know is that Restessa has installed a security system on her phone that she gets a ping every time any entry door to the home opens or closes. And so when she was at the nail salon, she goes back and looks and she's like, yeah, the front door opened for 1 minute, but it was closed right after. The way he told me the story, it would have taken a few minutes for that encounter to happen. He watched him park, rear-ended, came out and talked to him, and then he watched him drive out of the neighborhood. So you couldn't have been in and out of the door in 1 minute.
Yeah.
All right, so trust your gut. Da-da-da-da-da. Let's investigate. Homegirl knows that her neighbor has a security cam, has a Ring cam. And that front Ring cam door is perfectly situated to record Restless's driveway.
Oh, amazing.
So, like, privately, like, the next day, she just follows up with her neighbor, and she's and doesn't say why, but just like, hey, can you tell me if anybody...
Did a car pull into my driveway yesterday?
Yeah. You know, if you could go back and look, and I think you're already on it. Unsurprisingly, the neighbor finds zero, zed, nada, nothing. Mm-hmm. Now she's like, why would he make that up? Why would he make up that story to gaslight me just for my reaction to that? All right, last step, 20, that I've made it through in this block. Legion now goes quiet, and she, Recitessa, is having this battle with her head versus her heart. They go in town to dinner, and this is where it really does get a little bit shady. I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger here. Even I can't wait to find out what happens. So they go have dinner, and they're driving back, and it's kind of fun. We're driving 75 north, and there's the NCR building. Mm-hmm. Like, I can visualize it.
Sure.
And Legion's like, see that building behind there? That's where my offices are. That's where I keep the BMW. Because remember, he got the...
The company car.
And she's like, why? What? I can't leave the BMW in Riverdale, so I keep it there. And really calm, she's like, well, take me to see your office.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sunday night or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he takes his phone, left pocket, calls Willie. Willie's a head security. Hey, Willie, you around? Oh, nah, really? You're not there? What about Justin? Oh, Justin had to call out sick. Yeah, so my card's going to work on my floor, but it's not going to work to get me in the front door then? Oh, shucks. Sorry, babe. Can't take you to the office.
Yeah, that seems like a thing an executive wouldn't be able to do, is access the building on off hours.
Well, he's like, yeah, my pass only, you know, works on the, it's a damn weekend lock. Uh-huh. So that is where I am. That is the update. We have chicken tenders and Cheetos and cookies on the way. We got research sustenance.
We've ordered food to be delivered to us just so you can keep heads down.
Play-by-play podcasting.
Who the F did I marry?
It's
this is great.
Fascinating. Okay, I'll be back in another hour or two with the next 10.
Sure.
I'm really having a lot of feels for this poor child. I get that. I don't remember the person I used to be before I was with a narcissist. And you don't recognize the color of those flags until you're like, oh... Yeah, now I can walk into a room and find. I'm like, oh, there you are.
Yeah, there are definitely relationships that just in effect are flag school.
Flag school.
Because you didn't know. You didn't know what a red flag looked like until it was flapping in your face and you were like, move that. I can't stop looking at you. Yeah.
Flag school.
Poor Recitessa.
Yeah. No, she's definitely on the flag core now.
Yeah.
All right, after another break, we'll be back for the next exciting round of what TF happens next in this story. Back in a few.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
Okay, Alicia, you just keep telling me that I'm not ready for what's coming next, and I'm so excited to hear it.
I'm breathless. I have the next 10 parts.
Okay, so this is 21 through 30?
This is one segment about 20 that I forgot to tell you.
Okay.
And 21 through 29.
Okay.
But I've cut it at a really good spot.
Okay.
I have more notes than the last time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just taking notes on Post-it notes, and I'm tossing them all. I've just got a whole hunk over there, but here we go.
I see.
All right. The thing I need to tell you from where we left off last time with the, that's where I keep my company BMW
mm-hmm.
in this mysterious office building that security can't get into. The reason they were kind of down that road is Legion took Resitessa by a cemetery where his grandmother was buried.
Okay.
See that plot up there? It was his family name. That's where my grandma and granddad are buried. That has not come yet back around in the story, but I feel like this last block, things are sort of coming together. I needed to back up to tell you about dead grandmother on the hill with the tombstone and the family name. By this point, it is the end of February 2021. Our heroine, Resitessa, RT, she's like, there's always something. I'm just numb to it by this point.
Sure.
Then in March, she comes home one day and there's this envelope on the counter with a big bow, and it's an itinerary for her dream trip to London.
Ooh.
She's always wanted to go to London.
Who hasn't?
Always wanted to go to Paris.
Absolutely.
And she wants to go see Buckingham Palace and the Tower of mm-hmm. London, and girl, we did it and it's awesome.
Yep, yep.
But Legion has gotten this itinerary. We're going to stay at the Savoy.
Wow.
Like, this is her Atlanta to London dream come true. Anything for you, baby. Anything for you. We have plenty of time. This is March. They're going to go in July. So they appeal to get their passports. But for some reason or another, like, they're not filled out because everybody's getting ready for her mom to come visit in April. Now, mom's going to come visit in April. And everybody's excited about seeing mom. Everybody's excited about meeting. And Legion's like a big talker. Baby, I don't have any lies from you. She has his passcode to his phone. One day he's in the shower. She hears a beep go off. And at this point, a little foreshadowing, she's like, I'll never go through anyone's cell phone again after this. But she does have his text code, and she picks up the phone and she sees a name, and she's like, ooh, this could go either way. This is either his ex's name or his aunt, his sister's name. Like, there's,
yeah, so
like, this is either mm-hmm. something completely innocuous or maybe something a little sus. So she goes to see that it was the relative and it wasn't the ex, and there was nothing sus about it. But then she sees his Facebook Messenger.
Oh no.
Where he's got a bunch of unopened messages, where apparently Legion has been consorting on email with no less than 7 women and leading a whole, like, secret life where Legion, Resitessa is like, y'all, he was just nasty. But, and she's like, I'm not saying that for any kind of kink, but that's not the way he acted with me. But he's this totally different personality. He gets confronted with this out of the shower. And he was like, aw, I was just playing around. It didn't mean anything.
Mm.
I was just flirting.
Mm.
And she's so mad because, like, I've shoved so much down.
Mm-hmm.
And you were out here tasting the rainbow.
Yep.
Like, how stupid of me. And, oh, babe, I was just joshing. Like, they have this whole confrontation. He's telling her not to overreact. He's been texting with this woman. Like, we're in March now, okay? Mom's coming in April. He's been texting with some of these women since back from November, December, when they were applying for their marriage license.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, no.
It is at this point. This is every Trashy Divorces story coming together under one Trashy Divorces umbrella. I can't even stand it. Okay, 3 Post-it notes down, like 28 to go. It is at this point in March. They got married January 5th. We perhaps need to consider marriage counseling.
Oh, no.
Okay.
This is not how you want your marriage to go.
So she's like, at the minimum, you are emotionally cheating on me.
Yeah.
Pictures were
at the
exchanged.
Minimum. Oh, God.
Right? And they make an agreement not to fight in front of mom. But she's pretty mad. She's second guessing herself. She calls her aunt.
She has every right to be mad, yeah.
And her aunt's like, hey, you married him. So you can take the long way home as many days as you want to, but like you're going to need to find a way to work, reckon with it.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're in, I'm sorry, that was 21 and 22. Now we're in 23. So Ressa, Tessa, and Legion find a pastor and his wife who do counseling. And it's still COVID. Let's not forget the umbrella of COVID.
Sure.
So they're doing marriage counseling every other week on Zoom. We're 3 months into their marriage. The pastor and his wife have some concerns.
Do they?
With some of the things they're hearing. And they're like, hey, friends, like, where's your intimacy? And they do counseling from spring to a week before whatever the reveal is. I think probably we're going to be, I hope at the reveal. I don't know how many reveals they're going to be because I don't even know if we're there, to be fair. So after the first counseling session, Legion gets a new idea. Hey, baby, let's have a joint account.
I don't know what to say about that at this point.
And RT is like, yeah, let's look at your bank account and my bank account. And he's got like whatever, $9,600 in his account. She has like $1,500. Because she's a citizen working for the government, yeah. And he apparently is a big fancy VP.
Something or another.
But he will not show her her other two accounts.
His other two accounts.
Still, like the offshore and the other U.S. bank one. He didn't do it in November. He's not doing it now.
How many Americans do you think have offshore bank accounts? That number can't be large, can it? Like, what is that even...
In my life, I've never knowingly met someone with an offshore bank account.
Same.
Okay.
Same.
So, Ressa Tessa goes to counseling with the pastor and his wife the next week, and she's kind of mad about it. And she's like, why won't he show his wife this? Mm-hmm. Who signs his actual name on an offer for a house with an all cash? Like, why won't you tell me this? I haven't question this, but now, and the pastor and his wife are like, something isn't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor's wife is like, baby girl, these are some pretty big red flags. The pastor's wife says here, I don't think you're going to make it to January.
Oh, no.
Like, you're not going to make it to your first year. Legion at this point, because the pastor and the wife are like, yeah, dude, why? Like, there's something wrong with this. And he gets into this, well, it's because of my ex-wife and I earned this money from all my football and no woman is going to get into, and he like kind of turns into this like machismo patriarchy dude, and his nonverbals change and he's like mad he's getting attacked and money changes people. So he's playing the victim.
So he's pretending that he had
a million
massive
bucks. Yeah.
Earnings from his arena football career. I also know nothing about arena football. Maybe that's a thing. But, and so he's hiding that in the Cayman Islands or something. So his ex-wife
sure.
can't get it.
Okay, so.
So, okay.
So he's playing the victim here. Women, my uncle told me that you should never let a woman see your bank account. Okay, so now the pastor and the pastor's wife are like, we really wish that you had come to see us before you got married. Because we would have told you to not to get
yeah.
married and to break up immediately.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not just slow down.
Not
on,
just
wait,
slow
just...
down. Not. Nope. Nope. Not just slow down. Okay.
Wow.
So now we've moved to April of 2021. They've been married 3 months.
Mom's inbound.
Mom's inbound. But we're at episode 24. And they're going to do the house thing again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Their lease ends in August, and they're like, all right, let's move. We want to get out of Riverdale and get to Cobb County. So now they find a woman realtor. Her name is Amber. Amber shows them 3 or 4 houses. And Resitas's like, I honestly believed he was sane. You wouldn't put in an all cash offer on a house unless you had it. And Amber's like, let's get pre-approved. I'm happy to do this. I got a great lender. It's going to be great. But Amber's not even screwing around. And he won't do it. So after the deal falls through, Amber calls Resitessa, and Resitessa pulls over. She's talking at Quick Trip. Like, I love the way she, like, the story could go a little quicker. I'm trying to summarize for you, sure. But her visual details are really on point. So she's at the Quick Trip. I know exactly which one, like, because you remember where you are when you have those conversations, or like when the thing hits you or the song affects you or that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Amber, the real estate agent, calls. Like, hey, girl, you know, I knew something was up, but I don't really understand. And she knows all that paperwork from the Chase Bank the year before is, like, invalid at this point. And Amber's like, I don't know what's going on. And Resitessa, to, like, just save face for her husband and save face in front of Amber, is like, let's pause on houses. And it was a really kind conversation. She says, Amber said to her, like, hey, whether y'all want to get a house together or you want to get a house alone, I will represent you. But, you know, I think you're smart to take a pause, do your research. Something's not right. Open your eyes.
Okay, I'm I'm shocked. My eyes are humongous. The realtor that calls. She and her husband have been working with house hunting.
Yes.
Calls her separately. And is like, hey, maybe you just want to shop for you.
I will represent you.
What has the realtor found?
Well, he won't sign any pre-approval. And she's like, that's highly, she's a, like, that's what she Scott does, too, didn't do, right?
Right, she does this all day, every day. Yeah, this
you
is,
need to, with your real estate agent, give me in good faith that you have enough money to put up an all-cash offer. So I'm not working fraudulently.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Okay, so at this point, Resitessa's mad. She's like, "How? Like, now you've involved me in your gaslighting scheme to waste people's time for things that aren't ever going to happen."
Yeah, Amber can totally see that something is not adding up here.
Right. Amber, baby girl, pause it. Do your research. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know what's going on, but something's going on. Figure it out. And so Resitessa's like, okay, listen, Legion, we're going to rent for a year. Okay, that takes us to episode 25. We're halfway through the plot. New post-it note. We're at the end of April. And now Resitessa's like, babe, oh God, she's just too good. Okay, babe, I'm going to go look for a new job. Because I want to make more money. I want to be able to afford my car note on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I've been where I've been for a long time. I think I can go out. My skills are good. He laughs at her. Says, you'll never leave. And now this gives her a little bit of fuel, right? To start applying for other jobs. So she kind of goes at it with a vengeance. Also, she's an Aquarian.
Okay.
Fi. Okay, so she's got a little fire under her. To apply for new jobs. And you ready? In one of these jobs that she applies for, they really like her resume. They like her stuff. She doesn't lie on her resume. Make note of that. They send her an email. We really like you for this dream job gig in Cobb County where you're going to look for houses. It's going to pay you a lot more. Here's an attached background packet to complete. Your eyes just got real big.
I mean, this is not how I would like to learn about my spouse's, but continue.
But it's a great job.
No, I think she should go for that job. And I'm just scared for what she's about to learn.
This girlie's got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
She's legit. She goes to Legion and she's like, hey, I have to fill out this background package. You're my husband. He doesn't want to give it up, but he eventually will. And she will scan and save the documents. But she notices there that the first three digits of the social security number he gave on the marriage license are different than the first three different numbers that he's given on the background check.
Sure.
And I don't know if you know this, the first three numbers of your social security number are all based from the state that you were born in.
I don't think I...
They all have different particular combinations.
Right. No, that makes sense. But yeah. Okay. So he's got a few.
So she takes this social security number on her background check.
To work.
Sends the background check off because, you know, that's fine. But she does another background check. And it turns out that Legion only has addresses in Georgia, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania, no California. And she's like, well, that's kind of odd. Like you said, you moved here from California. That's where you married and divorced your ex-wife, and she's got her two stepkids, and that's weird. And I don't know. Weird. I have some questions. Also, at this time, Legion, like, hurts his leg at work, and he becomes, like, super hard to walk on. His schedule's the same, but now he's just in pain. He's ice on it every day and elevation, and she's like, we should take you to the doctor. And then it turns from, like, this work injury to this old football injury. We've moved into May 2021, so I guess mom is come and gone. But baby girl still has some questions. And one thing that happens in May of 2021, like, I need you to go ahead and just take a breath here because you're going to need it. College campuses are about to, like, are reopening.
Right.
So she calls San Diego State.
Oh, no.
Where he said he went to college and played football. And she calls the registrar's office to, like, request his transcript with the social security number that she now has from the new background check. And they're like, yeah, we don't have anyone with that social security number.
Did she try the other one?
Well, she calls.
Sure.
And she has some questions, and now we're moving into episode 26. And so she'll go to Legion, and she'll be like, what up? And I have to tell you without a breath, without blinking an eye, Legion has a story.
Of course.
And I'm going to try not to laugh, just like she tried to laugh in the telling of this. Legion's like, psh, I was a private citizen student. My dad... he paid extra so that my name and social security number would never be publicized. I had a special card that I just showed. I had a special card. And I didn't want to have a record. So my dad, like, I'm kind
of
special.
Because who would need a record of attending college for their future?
Okay, so here's where I want to get, like, the best slam in. I love her so much. She's like, well, but yeah, you played football for San Diego State, right? And he was like, yeah, I was a star football player. And she's like, so you just openly violated NCAA rules where your name has to be published on rosters based on the so-and-so regulation ordering of da-da-da-da-da-da-da? You just openly violated NCAA rules? Your name wasn't on the roster? They have no record of you? Like, whatever. Yeah, dude. I love that part. I was like, this is great. So you just openly violated?
So she does know college football.
Well, it's almost like you can feel her. She's like Harriet the Spy. Elle Woods, I'm not sure of a really good black heroine investigator who is getting wiser and wiser by the minute in this story. Okay. Now, Legion's coming home. His knee is all out. He is even taking her pain medication she was prescribed for the DNC that she didn't take because she was allergic to it. He moves into the guest room. Again, injury changed from work football to hard at work. In the middle of May, she gets a call at work. Legion's calling. Oh, baby, I have bad news. I just got a phone call from my stepson. My stepdaughter passed away. My stepson found her. She passed away of COVID. I know now that we have this joint account, anything over $500 we talk about. Can I give my ex-wife $2,000 for the stepdaughter's funeral? And Residence is like, of course. Like, let's help out. How? Of course. Like, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. What can we do to help support? And she... I think this is the end of this episode. She's getting better. Yeah, we're on 27 now. At the end of 26, she was like, Nobody would make that up, right?
Yeah, I'm so sorry this happened to her.
Moving into 27. All right, now. Remember, she's got your face.
We're not even in the
good part.
I'm so sorry that this happened to her.
Okay, so she got back the background check that she ran with the other social security number.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees that he has a state of Georgia address. That state of Georgia address is attached to his ex-wife. So she's not really proud, but she's like, whatever, let's investigate.
Mm.
So she goes to the state of Georgia open records and just searches the metro Atlanta area and finds out that their divorce, Legion and the ex-wife, her name is Barbara, by the way, their marriage and divorce all happened in the state of Georgia. He's never been to California.
Interesting.
So Ressa Tessa does the only thing she can do in a state where you actually have to go request open court records in person. She takes her handbag and she tells her boss, hey, I'll be back in an hour, and goes to get the open records.
Mm.
Okay. So she, Ressa Tessa, had been told one story the night of the perfect Cheesecake Factory love under the stars.
Okay, I'm so proud of her for just being like, guess I'm going to the courthouse
then. Guess I'm going to the courthouse. So she does. I'm not going to go through Tessa and the story she heard from Legion. I will tell you that she, Ressa Tessa, gets the court records and finds out that a lot of things were very different than what Legion said.
Surprising.
Ex-wife Barbara did file. She filed within 6 months of their marriage. Marriage to divorce, less than 6 months. Legion was served in the metro Atlanta area, meaning he was living here. He filed in the court under what is called a pauper affidavit.
Mm.
What does that mean? It means you tell the court that I am literally so poor, I don't even have the money to file.
Right.
I don't have the money to pay a fee. I don't have the money to do anything.
Right.
I am a pauper.
I am poor, but I still deserve the protections of the court.
That's not all. I mean, that's a lot, but... Legion was served...
Cayman Island money. Okay, go ahead.
At his previous employer... Served under irreconcilable differences. Just get that in, just for good measure, since we're here for trashy divorces.
Sure.
He served at his previous employment place, which was a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that Ressa Tessa notices is that there is a phone number for the ex-wife on the open court record documents that she now has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... What normal person wouldn't call the ex-wife?
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to be able to tell you what's going on like the ex-wife.
At the very least, to issue condolences on the loss of her daughter.
So we have moved into episode 28.
Where it all comes crashing down.
By this point, God bless Ressa Tessa. She's into it. There's no lead up. There's no recap. She's like, yeah. So I call Legion's ex-wife. I call Legion's ex-wife and say, hello, is this Barbara? And Barbara says, yes. And she explains to you, Barbara, who she is. And then Barbara just starts laughing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Barbara then says, if you're calling me, I know it's bad.
Mm.
They talk for 30, 35 minutes, just woman to woman. Ressa Tessa says Barbara's thoroughly gracious and asks, what do you want to know? And she's like, well, I can tell you. And she's like, I don't really need to know whatever he told you, because whatever he told you, it's a lie. And she's like, well, I know that you two talk, Barbara. And Barbara's like, we don't talk. I haven't talked to him
since
in years.
Yeah.
No, I want nothing to do with him. No, whatever he told you, it is a lie. So remember, they matched, Ressa Tessa and Legion did, on two different sites
because
he had two different names. And Barbara just laughs because she's like, that's not his government name. That must be his new name. So at this point, our heroine is just like, okay, well, what was your experience? Right? And Barbara's like, yeah, Betty told you I cheated and I needed money. All of those are lies. We've always lived in Georgia. He's never lived outside of the East Coast. I want nothing to do with him. Also, how the hell did you get my number?
Wow.
I really would like you never to tell him that you talked to me because I don't want anything to do with him. Also, what did he promise you, girl? Yeah. Keep me out of it. She's like, I won't tell him we talked. This conversation was for me. I will not call you again, but thank you for telling me what I needed to know. How bad is it? It's bad. And like Barbara's super nice. Like, don't blame yourself. It's not on us. It's on him. He is a master manipulator. But whatever he has told you, it is a lie. They get in a little bit more into it. Remember, his aunt and sister have the same name?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I was going to ask if that name is Barbara.
The sister reached out to the ex-wife. This is 6 months before Recitessa met Legion. And that sister's address that she goes looking for is not. It's his ex-girlfriend's address that he goes to after he leaves Barbara.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Barbara's like, listen, I got out quickly. He's never going to change. But I realized the writing on the wall and got out. And so they're wrapping up the conversation. And Recitessa says, how's your daughter? And Barbara says, fine, why? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And Recitessa's like, I didn't have the heart to tell her. I downplayed it. Like, oh, I thought she maybe had gotten COVID. I'm glad to hear she's well. Because who would lie
about that? What monster would make that up? Yeah.
Okay, you ready? So now I'm at 29. This is as far as I've gotten. This is the last bit.
This is where we're cliffhanging.
I think we're going to cliffhang it here. I'm going to continue to watch, but my thought is we get through this. I do notes for the next part. We record it tomorrow and we do episode one and episode two of this.
That makes
sense.
This is, from what I saw on the internet, this is about 8 hours of material. You have soldiered through a lot.
I'm through 60% out of 50 mm-hmm. episodes. I'm at mm-hmm. 60%. So this is going to be where we're going to stop it here. We'll put it both early and ad free on Patreon, but we really have left it on a great cliffhanger here. You're selling the story, Recitessa. So episode 29, she's taking the long way home because quite frankly, she does not want to be around him after she's heard this conversation
yeah.
with the ex-wife.
Well, and this, I mean, begs the question, who the F did she marry, right? Like,
who the F did I marry? And yeah. what else are you lying yeah. about? He's behaving regularly, but now she's turned into Harriet the Spy. She's Cabot Cove. Mm-hmm. Let's investigate. So she's doing all this investigation, which is great. And that's super fun. And she goes to his mother's obituary. And in his mother's obituary, where they have the survivors, she sees Legion's father, because his mom died in 2015, Legion's father and his two brothers. And Legion mentioned, and his wife, who were survivors, but not the wife she just talked to.
No, whole different
this
wife.
This is another wife, LaToya. Nobody can see your face.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The two sisters that Legion has are not mentioned.
Not sisters.
He's one of five. The two brothers are there, but the two sisters are not in his obituary.
No, he says he's one of five.
He says he's one of five, but the two sisters aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds it's really weird because
it's an obituary.
Legion and the sister who lives in Douglasville talk all the time.
Sure. Sure they do. His sister. That's... Mm-hmm.
Also, Legion and his wife, LaToya, not Barbara. So, again, now Recitessa knows Legion's lying. That's no longer the question. She's shooken herself out of, is he lying to me? Oh, baby girl.
I feel like the question is, what isn't he lying about?
What else is he lying about? And now she's like, what? He has a new wife, LaToya, but he only filled out one wife on the marriage license.
So Recitessa, at a minimum, is wife three.
Yes, at a minimum.
At a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is in his early 40s. Is that correct? So she's probably actually like wife 9 or 10.
He is in his early 40s also. Legion is still hobbling around the house. Mm-hmm. We leave it here on 29 with Recitessa doing more Googling and asking the final question. I wrote it down just by itself. What is the game plan?
Mm.
I'm about to loop into episode 30. Get through the next blocks coming for you on the next episode of Trashy Divorces. I hope you enjoyed this play-by-play.
Oh my God.
Exciting adventure.
I would be frightened. Like, I would be physically frightened to share a domicile with someone who nothing about them was true.
Nothing. Whatever he has told you, they're lies.
I mean, it seems like Barbara is in good health, so that maybe suggests he's not violent, but do you know?
Okay, so I haven't really investigated because there may be a dumpster dive attached onto this, but apparently ex-wife number one has had to come out on TikTok because it's blown up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get through the main bulk of content first.
Sure.
To find out the story.
No, I'm so glad you're doing this. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I hope that our listeners are thoroughly enjoying this.
Here's my wild roller coaster.
Woo! And if you have watched this, feel free to chime in on social, shoot us an email, whatever. Because this is clearly a bit of a cultural phenomenon happening right now. And Alicia, you are in it.
I'm powering through.
You're in it.
Yeah, I got 20 more episodes to watch. I'm going back down. But I think we are going to stop this one here. Thank you, everybody,
mm-hmm.
for tuning in. And, oh my God, all the ways you support the pod.
Yep.
We've never done an episode like this. It's been kind of a fun day.
This is a nice little diversion.
We adore all of your trashy hearts. We adore you telling your friends about us and all the ways you support the pod. We'll be back earlier on Patreon, if not Wednesday for you, for the exciting continuation of What is the Game Plan?
Sure.
This is the trashiest divorce of the first quarter 2024.
Who the F did she marry?
I love it. Also, we should probably introduce ourselves. I'm Alicia. That's Stacy. We just kind of jumped into it. We didn't even do an intro.
We'll record an intro.
Do we even need to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
Until we meet again.
And from Trashy Divorces, this is Stacy.
This is Alicia. Y'all, until we meet again, keep those hands clean.
Keep your hearts trashy, friends.
Big love, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram, and definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.